Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. The hat out front should tell you. We are doing all sorts of incredible things here, merging our 22-year sports brand at WNST with Baltimore Positive all into one place. We highly encourage you to go to newbaltimorepositive.com. You'll see Taharka, you'll see Pizza John's and Planet Fitness and Royal Farms and all of our incredible sponsors. But what you won't see is Don Moeller wearing a State Fair shirt because he does not have one. He's very upset about that. And as upset as we are that we're not sharing chicken and waffles with our next guest, a repeat offender here at Baltimore Positive, and he's come here to lift us from Capitol Hill in the Senate. Don, do the honors.
Oh, it's great to have back a real friend of Baltimore Positive, and truly one of the, Maryland is blessed with two of the really outstanding senators in Washington, and it's terrific to welcome back our good buddy, Senator Chris Van Hollen. Senator, welcome back to Baltimore Positive.
Hey, Don, it's great to be with you and Nestor and Baltimore Positive, and I got to get one of those shirts myself, all right?
I got to figure out what the deal is. Every time we come on, Nestor has a new shirt from
I actually go to the sponsors and eat the food. That's what I do. That's how I do it.
I don't figure out what's going on.
Well, you know, we don't do as much of that. And, Senator, I want to apologize on behalf of State Fair and all we do. We had such a great time with you last year. I don't know that we could have thought about where the world has spun that – chicken and waffles and shrimp and grits and a cup of coffee is not involved here this morning.
No, I got it. It's too bad. We got to bring your own coffee these days, right?
Yeah, it's awful. It's awful.
Royal Farms, always local.
Senator, as we were talking off camera with your staff, Nestor said to one of your staff members, and your staff's been terrific. He said point blank. He said, "I don't quite understand. We won this election. It's been over a week. I should feel better than I do." So I want you to put your senator hat down for a minute and play psychotherapist.
Yeah, get aspirational on us here.
Why don't we feel better than we do?
So first of all, we should feel great because we are putting behind us our four-year national nightmare. Make no mistake, on January 20th, Joe Biden will be sworn in as the next president of the United States. Kamala Harris will be the next vice president of the United States. That will happen. That's a great day for democracy. It's a great day for America. But what we're seeing is the death throes of the Trump administration. And what is so alarming and why we all feel bad is, first of all, that you've got all these Republican senators going along and aiding and abetting his fraudulent narrative that somehow he was cheated out of this election. That is a very dangerous thing to do. It undermines public confidence in our democracy. It gives great comfort to the enemies of democracy overseas. It's no surprise that all our allies, our democratic, country allies around the world, the leaders of those countries, have already congratulated, Joe Biden on his victory, but people like Vladimir Putin have not. This is birds of a feather with Donald Trump. So we're at this point in time where the Republican Party has been totally captured by Donald Trump. And it was bad enough when they refused to stand up to him for the last 4 years in the Senate while he was undermining the rule of law and democracy. We would have thought after an election where he clearly lost that they would not be so timid and bound and scared, but that's what's happening. They're putting their own sort of personal political fears above the good of our country, and I must say that is very scary for our democracy.
Senator, what cost do these Republican senators to go along with this charade? This must be about electability in their district, right? That if they don't go along with this, they will 2 years, 4 years from now be in trouble on the ballot, that if they don't go along with it. But I'm trying to find the upside of this for people who say they love our country. That's the problem I'm having with it, Senator.
Well, and you should be having a problem because everyone is sworn to, protect and uphold the Constitution of the United States. We had an election. Joe Biden got the most votes, popular votes, but also won the Electoral College vote. The reason they continue to go along with Donald Trump And this isn't a justification. This is just pure cowardice. It's the explanation is that they're scared of all the voters who came out to vote for Donald Trump. And, you know, one of the things we have to come to grips with is that while Joe Biden beat Donald Trump in this election, it was not the repudiation of Donald Trump that we all hope to see at the ballot box. You know, after all, we're talking about somebody who's been, you know, from the beginning, a bigot and a bully and a liar. And yet he was able to get a lot of votes. And a lot of the Republican senators who won their reelections won because people turned out to vote for Donald Trump and then voted for them. And so now they're scared to effectively turn on Donald Trump, even though he's been defeated. And this is going to be a very scary thing for the Republican Party, I think, because it shows that the Republican Party has become the party of Trump. I mean, he may be running the show from Mar-a-Lago in the coming days, but to the extent that Republican senators support this fraudulent line, how are they going to be able to work with Joe Biden, who wants to reach out and work, because they'd be working with what they claim is an illegitimate president, right? So that's why this is so dangerous to the future of our democracy.
Well, it's really dangerous, Senator, and it's without precedent. I mean, I like to remind folks that as contentious as 2016 was, the minute CNN called that race, 10 minutes later, Hillary Clinton called Donald Trump to concede and to congratulate him. 2 days later, President Obama had the president-elect in the White House while votes were still being counted across the nation in the same way. This breaking down of norms is, I guess, what continues to keep me up at night. And I know that you all are not presently, because of COVID, and sometime before we get off today, we'll talk about COVID and the CARES Act and what needs to happen. But I know you're not together as you typically are, down in the Senate gym or in the cafeteria or in the hallways of the Senate. But you know these people. You know Ted Cruz and Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham and Tom Cotton. You know these folks. What I'm having trouble with is how does Humpty put this thing, how do we put Humpty Dumpty back together again? How do you all begin to talk collegially again so that government can work? I mean, the fact that government doesn't work should alarm people, I think.
Well, it is alarming, and this is exactly why, you know, Joe Biden has said from the very beginning of his campaign that his goal is to find ways that we can come together and work together for the good of the country. My God, we've got this raging pandemic that's taking a second wind here. We have the pain from the economic fallout. We have big problems we have to deal with in this country. And Joe Biden has made clear that that's exactly what he wants to do. But they're making it more difficult for themselves now, Republicans, to come together and achieve those goals by undermining the legitimacy of this election. So we can talk more about specific things we should be doing, but they are making it harder for the country.
Well, let me start with a very specific thing then, because it's the question, and I'm going to ask you to be, Nestor likes to have it when we have civics lessons. So the civics question.
He tells me he was a social studies teacher back in the 70s.
But it was a very different government that I was talking about back then. The question that I get asked all of the time by family and friends and from my wife almost every day as she eats her yogurt is, it appears to the American public, let's take something like the CARES Act, that regardless of how much support it may have, bipartisan, across party lines, that if the president of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, does not want any piece of legislation to come to the floor, that one man can single-handedly say, we will never vote on that. So my civics question is, Is that correct? Can one man literally keep any piece of legislation from coming to the floor, or is there a way around that?
So Mitch McConnell, as the current majority leader, and we can talk about the Senate races that are going to, we're going to see in the runoff elections in Georgia, two very important Senate elections on January 5th that would change the balance in the Senate if the Democrats win. But as the current majority leader, Mitch McConnell essentially controls the gavel. He controls the calendar in the United States Senate. And yes, he can control what legislation comes up. Now, I don't want to give all his Republican Senate caucus members a pass. He can only do this at the end of the day with their complicity, with their acquiescence. I mean, if the majority of his caucus, which, you know, votes to elect him as their leader, says, you know, no, Mitch, this is not acceptable. We got to do something else. He obviously will respond. I mean, they hide in many ways behind him. But the answer to the question is the majority leader, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, has that gavel and can control what comes up. Now, as a senator, I can go down to the floor of the Senate and seek to amend something. But there are devices that Mitch McConnell can use that make it very difficult for me to ever get a vote on my proposal. So control of the Senate is really important. That is why these two Senate races in Georgia are so critical in so many ways.
Well, as someone, Senator, again, if you're just joining us, we are with Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen trying to make sense out of what just happened and what's about to happen in the United States of America. Senator, as someone who has chaired the Democratic Senate campaigns all over the nation, you probably know each state and electoral politics as well as anyone in the United States Senate. Traditionally, we know that in runoff elections, for a variety of reasons, Democrats don't fare too well. Republicans tend to do better, particularly in Georgia. Democrats have not fared well. What gives you hope in Georgia that this time it will be different, and that on January the 5th, there is a chance to actually elect Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff and give Democrats control of the Senate?
Well, for a number of reasons. You know, since Stacey Abrams narrowly lost her race for governor in Georgia a number of years back, Democrats have been organizing at the grassroots level, and we saw the results of that in this presidential election. I mean, as we're talking here, Joe Biden is winning the state of Georgia. They're going to have this hand recount, but that's not going to change the result. And so Joe Biden has demonstrated that a Democrat can win in Georgia. Now, in a special election, it's all about turnout. And the reason you saw so many Republicans turn out in Georgia was because Donald Trump was on the ticket. And he did bring out a large number of voters. You know, fortunately, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris brought out more. But Donald Trump will not be on the ballot on January 5th. And so all those voters who were motivated to come out because of him won't have that motivation, at least. Whereas Democratic voters are going to be very motivated to come out. Reverend Raphael Warnock is a great charismatic candidate. John Ossoff has shown his strength in suburbs throughout Georgia. And together, I think they're going to garner a large turnout. So I don't want to sugarcoat this. This is a tough, tough race. I think it will be very close. But yes, I do think the Senate Democratic candidates can win. And that, of course, swings control of the Senate. It takes it to 50-50. And speaking of, you know, the civics lesson, when it's 50-50 deadlock, it's the vice president of the United States that cast the deciding vote, and that will be Vice
I like
President
her.
Kamala Harris.
Senator Van Hollen here. I guess I do want to go Schoolhouse Rock and civics and eighth grade social studies, which I never took with Don Mueller back in the day. I would think that through the course of all of Trumpism and what's happened the last 4 years, I mean, I've moved the whole radio station from sports to this because it's that important. And I know so many more people. Look at how many more people voted from where we were 4 years ago, whether it was for Trump or for Biden or against one of them. The Georgia thing's fascinating for me because I think everyone in Georgia at least now knows there's such a thing as two senators and it's a big deal and the impeachment was followed and what's happened with... More people are more aware. Senator Kate, I'll just ask you a silly question, but what does a senator do? What is so important to these people in Georgia that all of these flags are going to be flying, ads are going to be playing, there's going to be so much money spent down there, but at the heart, what is a senator charged with doing leaving Georgia or Maryland to go down to Capitol Hill to get things done?
So the main thing a senator does is listen to his or her constituents. They should be doing that. I work hard to listen to people of all different perspectives, but then decide on new laws and legislation to pass together with the House, the majority in the House, and of course a presidential signature to improve the lives of the American people. So think about things like Medicare, which has kept tens of millions of seniors with some health security in their older years. Think about Social Security. Think about public funding for education, Title I. Think about all our federal laws to protect the pollution. Think about the EPA's Chesapeake Bay Protection Program. Think about all sorts of important laws that are in place today came through the United States Senate. And so those two votes can help determine the direction of our country, and especially now because they not only will be filling Senate seats from Georgia, but they will determine the majority in the Senate. And there are lots of things that President Joe Biden would like to do where it will be easier to accomplish them. If he has a Democratic majority in the United States Senate, starting, I should say, with a robust COVID-19 relief bill, which is so important to the American people to both stop the spread and provide desperately needed economic relief.
Where is this country going this winter with COVID, as you see it, as the Biden... Pretending there's no coup attempt or there will be no coup and everything you've said is true on January 20th. What happens next for us as you see it over the next 90 or 120 days? How can we make COVID go away other than just shutting everything down?
Well, there are two things we've got to do. And make no mistake, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the ones who don't want to shut things down. They don't want to shut down the economy. They don't want to shut down our schools. But they recognize that the only way to really open things and safely in a way that we're not spreading the disease at an accelerating rate is to slow the spread. That's why these simple things like wearing masks in public. Look, this is yes, it's about protecting yourself, but there's nothing macho about putting other people at risk of getting COVID-19. And so you're going to see much more of a national strategy. Trump has pursued a state by state, go it alone, do your own thing approach. But we're not an island. Maryland's not an island. We need a national strategy. And so from day one, and you already saw Joe Biden appoint this 12-person panel of experts. He's going to follow the science, follow the advice of public health experts. And you're going to see more testing, and more contact tracing so that we can slow the spread. You're also going to see a real effort to save the economy. We've seen some improvements, but the rate of improvement is slowing down. There are lots of people now who are long-term unemployed. And so we have a proposal, and Joe Biden has a plan to get people, the economy going help provide economic relief. So day one, you're going to see a president who takes this seriously, listens to the scientists, So you're not going to see super spreader events at the White House. He will follow the advice of the healthcare experts. He's already impaneled 12 people. He's going to listen to the science. And I think the main thing here is that Joe Biden is the one who wants to reopen our economy quickly. He wants to reopen our schools quickly. But he knows you can only do that quickly and safely if you get this pandemic under control. That means we all need to play our part. People do need to wear masks. This is not just about protecting yourself. There's nothing macho about putting other people at risk. That's why Joe Biden says, and all the experts say, we should be wearing masks when we're in situations that the CDC recommends. He will be developing much more by way of rapid testing and contact tracing. So this will not be a situation where the states are on their own. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Maryland's not an island. No state is an island. We need a national strategy. When it comes to vaccines, they are putting together their plan to deploy these vaccines as quickly as possible, beginning with people who are most at risk and need them the most. But ultimately, we need to have public confidence to make sure that people get the vaccine. And we need to make sure that people don't have to pay for it, that nobody doesn't get the vaccine because they can't afford it, because it's in everyone's interest that everybody get this vaccine. So day one, a strategy to stop the spread so that we can reopen our economy and schools safely.
Senator, we promised your staff that we would be respectful of your time, and we want to do that. But before we let you go, talk about, and you're someone you've run many times, you've won many times, you've been all over the country talking about the Democratic message. There's a lot of discussion now about whether or not Democrats lose the messaging battle over and over and over. And when talking to mainstream Americans, whatever mainstream Americans are. And I do think there's some merit to that, because I always point out that on the major issues, if you ask folks what the major issues of the day, put COVID aside for a minute, we all know that's number one, but then go to the other major issues. The public overwhelmingly agrees with Democrats on every single one. For example, 63% of the public supports some form of universal health care. Forget whether it's public option, Medicare for all, some kind of hybrid. They support universal health care. 60% want to ban automatic weapons. 90% support background checks and red flag laws. 70% believe we should take action on climate. The public overwhelmingly supports Democratic positions on issues, but yet we read over and over, and when it gets translated, Democrats versus Republicans, we lose the message battle. Why is that? And I, as somebody who prides myself on spending a lot of time in the communications business, I'm a little perplexed myself. Give me your analysis on that.
Well, Don, first of all, let me say, I mean, Joe Biden won this election. He won the popular vote by a record amount, 5 million votes. So clearly what Joe Biden was saying on the campaign trail has overwhelming popular support. And of course, he also won the Electoral College. So he did win on his messaging. But that said, I agree with you. When you look at these polling results, the issues that Democrats stand for are very popular, and we should be winning by more. I think what happens is we often sort of distill this debate as Democrats into a list of policy proposals. And in the end, we asked about what you do in the United States Senate. In the end, getting all that policy details right is important. But we need to do a much better job of boiling those policy points down to key themes. And the reality is that the Democratic Party is the party that stands up for working people. We want an inclusive economy where everybody can make it in the United States of America. If you look back at the one thing that the Trump administration did legislatively, it was a 2017 tax cut that went overwhelmingly to the wealthiest Americans and big corporations. Corporations use those funds not to give their workers raises, not to invest more in plant and equipment, but stock buybacks that went to a lot of foreign stockholders, by the way. So I do think we need to boil this down and focus on what is meaningful and counts to every American, regardless of their race or religion or ethnicity. And that's making sure that we are the country that lives up to the idea that no matter who you are, no matter what you came from, you can make it here, and we need an economy that works for everybody. And that is the Democratic Party. We recognize that market systems are not perfect. We want market systems because they're efficient, but they're not perfect. They have rough edges. That's why we need social safety nets like Medicare, like Social Security, like Medicaid. That's why we want to make sure that we have public education so that everybody has an opportunity to get a quality education. So that's what Democrats are about. They really are about making sure every American, regardless of where they came from, what they believe, what their race is, can make it in the United States of America. We're about inclusion and making sure everybody has a chance.
Senator Van Hollen, we have laws about yelling fire in a crowded theater, right? That I don't know where the law kicks in with Liberate Michigan and guys with semi-automatic weapons showing up at the state house and the president sort of cheering it on. Every person I know in my circle who has voted for Biden and wants to see Trump gone, and I'm in that circle for sure, is very worried about the next 60 days. I know we began with this, and I think we can end with this, but convince me that he cannot pull off a coup attempt. Convince me the checks and balances that Professor Mueller taught me about back in eighth grade. Actually, it was Mr. Schley and Mr. Zents at Hollaberg Middle School before I got there. But convince me that this isn't possible here. Moon over Parador and what we've seen in other places cannot happen here in the next 60 days.
Well, it is dangerous that Donald Trump is talking as if it can. But the reason it won't is because at the end of the day, we are a country based on the rule of law. And Donald Trump has tried to weaken that. As Don said, he's undermined norms. But at the end of the day, the law requires that all these votes be counted. So he was unable to stop the count. We remember when, you know, Pennsylvania and Michigan were, you know, counting the mail-in ballots, and he was saying, stop the count, stop the count. Of course, he wasn't saying that in Arizona and Nevada, where he was behind, but they kept counting. And that's because that's the law. And they're going to run into court. They're doing it right now with these ridiculous cases of trumped up fraud. The judges are dismissing them. And I do have confidence that on this kind of case, this particular kind of case, that judges, regardless who appointed them, are going to say the law is the law, and we're going to keep counting the votes, and whoever has the most votes wins. So I'm confident what's going to happen. But what we talked about at the beginning, about these Republican senators refusing to stand up for our democracy, is a very scary thing.
Well, we saw this with the impeachment, that's really why I'm nervous, because the impeachment, to me, I followed along. We saw what they did with the Supreme Court last month. I think there's a moral bankruptcy there that in my mind, we're not getting our arms around, certainly not as a lifer media member. I think the media has done a poor job of portraying the danger of this.
Oh, there's no doubt. Look, if you're asking me whether we should depend on the Republican senators to preserve our democracy, the answer to that, as you said, came long ago. No way. They will put their partisan personal interests above the interests of the United States of America. The good news is we're not depending on Republican senators. We are depending in the end of the rule of law in specific states and people who will finish the counting of the vote and tabulating those votes. There's this proposal, obviously, where they're trying to run to the Pennsylvania legislature and try to get the Pennsylvania legislature to impanel their own electors. The Republican heads of the Republican legislature have said no. Now, look, that is a potential weak link, because you've got, You got Republican leaders there who are facing pressure. But at the end of the day, I do believe the system will hold. But it shows why it's so important to have these checks and balances in our system. Can you imagine if we had the federal government counting all these votes from the election? Donald Trump would rig the election. I have no doubt about it. So the good news is that our system does have enough diffusion of power that he's not going to be able to pull it off despite what he's attempting to do.
What a lesson, Nestor. We took it all the way out to January 20th. Our good friend Senator Van Hollen says at 12 noon on January the 20th, we will have a President Biden.
And I will have some American tea along with that. Senator, always a pleasure. We always learn a lot. Really appreciate it. I appreciate having you on the wall down there for us. And we'll see what happens in early January in Georgia. Preserve our democracy. You keep trying to make us better. Lift us.
Thank you. Thank you, Nestor. Thank you, Don. Great to be with you guys.
Great to be with you. Thank
Senator
you.
Senator Chris Van Hollen joining us here on Baltimore Positive on behalf of all of our sponsors, including our friends at Moeller & Gary Realty. Didn't mention Jeff at the beginning. I want to make sure I do that. Stay Fair, El Guapo, and our fantastic friends at Fadley's, where they're shipping those delicious crab cakes anywhere and everywhere. You click on our website and make that happen. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.